Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Today is Wednesday, January 6th, which traditionally has been the Feast of the Epiphany, but we celebrated it last Sunday. It's now been consigned to the Sunday nearest, and so today is, in a sense, the Wednesday in ordinary time, but nothing really, when it comes to God, is ordinary. Not at all. It's incredibly extraordinary. God came among us. And as I said yesterday, the responsorial psalm, all this week, Psalm 72, and our response every day is, Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. I ask that you would take a moment. I hope you did on Monday and Tuesday. Take a moment the rest of this week, every day, to say, Lord, may I adore you. May I bow down before you, not just physically. And I do encourage you to do it physically, to bow down, to kneel down and bow down before the Lord and say, Lord, you are my King and my God, and I love you. Or read one of the Psalms. But every day, acknowledge who he is in your life. Acknowledge that you obey him, that you seek to worship him, to praise him, to thank him. Do that every day because it protects you. It centers you in the truth of who you are and who God is. And it opens the door to wisdom, to insight. Because if that is truly your posture, and oh my goodness, there are times when, you know, if you think of adoration as being bowed down before the Lord, and physically I do encourage it. But if you think of it in your mind's eye, being bowed down before the Lord, and then you're saying, but I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I want my will. It becomes a lot clearer, a lot faster what's really going on in you, because we all rebel. We do. We rebel in little ways 100 times a day. So if you make an act of adoration every day before the Lord, it will help you. You will remember that. It will help you to see when you're actually pushing against God's will. And then you just repent, say, Lord, I want to follow you. And more he will draw you close to his own heart. More and more when he sees that you really mean what you say. You're not just saying pious words. So let's take a look at the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 11 to 18. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. Yet if we love one another, God remains in us and his love is brought to perfection in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us, that he has given us of his Spirit. Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. Notice that. Whoever acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, God abides in him, God lives in him, and he in God. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. When you adore the Lord, when you worship him, when you bow before him, that's an acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God. When you do that, God dwells in you and you in God. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, or whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In this is love, brought to perfection among us, that we have confidence on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so one who fears is not yet perfect in love. The more I come to know him, the more I desire to be obedient to him, the more I honestly desire. For a while in the beginning, you know, it's hard, but I want to do this, but God wants me to do that. But we argue with ourselves all over the place. The more you ascend to Jesus, the more your life will be full of peace and joy and confidence in his love for you. Anyone who follows him, no matter how many times you fall, if you get up and repent and start over. God loves you. God is very near to you. God will help you. You have nothing to fear. But if lukewarm or we're lackadaisical, wake up. Wake up. This is real. These are not just pious actions. Your eternal salvation, in a certain way, can depend on it. And what God puts you on this earth to do for others certainly depends on it. So again, I want to emphasize this. I really do encourage you to make an act of adoration every day, somewhere. If you can go to church and do it there, fine. If you can do it in your home, in your bedroom, wherever you can find a quiet, private place, bow down before him. Prostrate yourself on the floor before him and say, "You are my God, and I come to worship you, adore you, follow you. Give me the grace today to live as your disciple, to live as your daughter, to live as your son. Give me grace today." It's amazing how God responds to that prayer. Not in trumpets and revelation, but in a quiet, growing, peaceful assurance that you are loved. And it can make us very generous toward others. The responsorial psalm, as I mentioned again, is, "Lord, every nation on earth will adore you." The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 45 to 52. After the 5,000 had eaten and were satisfied, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of them, he went off to the mountain to pray. So look at the scene. We read the story of the loaves and the fishes yesterday, and the 5,000 have now eaten, and they're being dispersed. Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side toward Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And when he had taken leave of the crowd, he went off to the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was far out on the sea, and he was alone on the shore. And then he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them. Brothers and sisters, I've been on the water of Galilee. And I was there at a time when there weren't any storms, but I did see the potential. I was very struck by the power of that body of water. And I could imagine what it would have been like for the disciples, well-trained, well-experienced fishermen, and they are in trouble. And when he saw that they were tossed about while rowing, for the wind was against them, and in the fourth watch of the night, those of you who have listened to this program a lot should know what the fourth watch is. It's the darkest part of the night, right before the dawn, around 4 a.m. It's the darkest part. It's when we can be most depressed, when we wake up in the middle of the night. It's that long blackness, and we think of all the things weighing down upon us. It's a hard time. And so it seems as though Jesus waited that long. They're out there rowing. They're out there trying not to capsize, and he's allowing it, and he's watching them. God sees you in all your circumstances. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. He was acting like he didn't see them, but he knew them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out. They had all seen him and were terrified. They thought they were seeing a mirage. They didn't know what this was. And to see him walking on the water, they knew that was very different too. He was walking on the water. He appeared to just walk by them. And they cry out to him. And at once he spoke with them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind died Now, brothers and sisters, you and I can go through great storms, and we wonder, where is God? Does God care? If God sees this, why doesn't he intervene? Notice, he came in the fourth watch of the night. Came when you're ready to give up hope. He's testing your faith. He's testing your faith. Just remain faithful to him. Love him. Hang on tight. He'll get you through the storm. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them. Jesus wants to be very near us. We're the ones who keep him at bay. Many times all we do is pay him lip service. We go to Mass and say the words. We don't for one moment think, how does this word apply to my life? Am I really adoring God, or am I planning something during the Mass? What am I doing? God allows things to happen to shake us up, to see where our priorities really are. Or he shakes things up because he knows that he has a disciple who will follow him and help him carry out his will in the situation. God never abandons, but we can feel like we are because we don't see what he's about to do. We don't see how he can do anything. And then he does it. He does it. I'm reminded again, over and over, that I've told this story many times, but a few Christmases ago in the Midwest, somewhere in, I think it was Iowa, where a man with two or three of his children in the car slipped on the ice, upended the entire car, and it landed in a river. It was full. And they only had moments. 10 cars stopped. 10 men got out. 10 men and women. 10 men and women got out. They said they have no idea how they did it, but they knew each one, whatever was needed, was there among those 10. What if they had ignored? What if they had gone on? And they were able, I don't know how, but they were able to turn that car over to the degree that they were out of the water. Think of it. How do you do that? It's superhuman. God came to them in the so-called darkest time of the night. Comes to us. They were all saved. Think about that. God comes to us in surprising ways. But what if those 10 people had said, no, I can't do anything, or I don't know what to do? It was like with one accord that they just stopped. They didn't know one another. We need this, I can do it. We need that, I can do it. And within moments, they had moved into position. Are you ready for what God wants of you? Are you ready to follow him? Please put all your trust in him. May God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.